نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. ما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah, and we seek His assistance, and we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah through me, demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger achieves the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a strang, and every strang is in the fire. We're changing from our series, Obedience to Allah and His Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we'll make that Wednesday night after Salatul Isha. And on Friday nights, we'll take the next couple of weeks, inshallah ta'ala, to finish a book that we wanted to start some time ago by our Shaykh Mustafa ibn al-Adawi, hafadhahullah, called Makhariju min al-Fitani. Makharijun min al-Fitani, or ways of escaping the fitna. Our Shaykh Mustafa ibn al-Adawi, hafadhahullah, he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. المقدمة or the introduction. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه. All the way to the end of خطبة الحاجة, where he says, وبعد, we are presenting this small booklet of ours that's comprised of some of the manifestations of fitan or fitnas. And in this booklet, in the book that we have already explained, and that's in another book that the Shaykh is referring to, he deals with the manifestations or the different types of fitnas. And in this book, it's comprised of some of the ways to get out of those fitnas, as this book is comprised of guidances and directives and warnings and directions for the Muslims. I have compiled this book from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I have limited myself to that which has been authentically reported, either by being sahih or hasan, and I've made some brief comments on some of the points from the statements of the people of knowledge. May the mercy of Allah be upon them. And we did not intend to be long in this booklet, because it's for the masses of the Muslims, and the place to be lengthy in this discussion is in another place, inshallah. And whoever wants more of the topic or more reference books dealing with where the hadith come from, Then I advise him with our book, As-Sahih al-Musnad, min ahadith al-fitni wal-malahimi wa ashrat al-sa'a. Or, and this is the basis of where the Shaykh got this book from his other book, The Authentic Chains, from the hadiths around the issues of fitan and serious trials and tests and the signs of the last hour. There are other ways of escaping the fitna that we hope to present, inshaAllah ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit Islam and the Muslims by this book, and to have our status raised to being amongst those who are guided from those who Allah have favored from amongst the prophets and the truthful and the shuhada and the righteous. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Written by Abu Abdullah Mustafa ibn al-Adawi from Egypt. مخارج عامة من كل الفتن. General ways of escaping every type of fitna. Firstly, is the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh, he mentions in the footnote, and it's not unaware, or our noble reader is not unaware of the hadith of the three people of the cave, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them because of their taqwa. And Allah ta'ala, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, he says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, from Surah Al-Talaq, verse number 2, where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, he says, and whoever fears Allah, Allah makes a way out for him. وَقَالَ سُبْحَانَا وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا, Surah Al-Talaq, verse number 4, where Allah subhanahu, he says, and whoever fears Allah, then Allah will make his affair easy for him. So from amongst the ways of escaping every fitna is the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, at-tawakkulu ala Allah, or tawakkul, or reliance upon Allah alone. Qala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ, from Surah At-Talaq, verse number 3, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and whoever relies on Allah, then Allah is sufficient for him. وَقَالَ سُبْحَانَهُ الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَاخْشَوْهُمْ فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَضْلٍ لَّمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٌ وَاتَّبَعُوا رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَظِيمٍ, سُورَةُ آلِ عِمْرَانَ, verses 173 to 174, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who the people said to them, those meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, who the people said to them, meaning some of the disbelievers said to them, that they have gotten together, so be afraid of them, but it increased them in their iman. They had said, they have gotten together against you, meaning Abu Sufyan, before he accepted Islam, radiallahu anhu, him and those who were with him, they got together in order to fight and finish the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, and to wipe out Islam as they thought. And the people are saying to the Muslims, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, you should be afraid of what they might do to you. But it increased them in iman. Meaning when they heard that this was going to take place, it increased the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba in their iman, and their certainty that the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the truth. And they said, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ, and Allah is sufficient for us and the best guardian and protector. So they came back with a favor from Allah and His bounty, and no harm touched them, and they followed the pleasure of Allah, and Allah is the one of the magnificent, the owner of the magnificent bounty. They came back with a favor from Allah, meaning they returned back from the battle, Hamra'ul Asad, with Allah favoring them by increasing them in their iman and their certainty in the promise of Allah, and that it's true, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored them by keeping them safe and being harmed from the disbelievers, and no harm had touched them. And they followed the pleasures of Allah by being obedient to Allah and answering the call. And Allah is the owner of the magnificent bounty. He gives it to whoever He pleases. The statement, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ, or the statement, Allah is sufficient for us and the best guardian and protector. عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل قالها إبراهيم عليه السلام حين ألقي في النار وقالها محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم حين قالوا إن الناس قد جمعوا لكم فاخشوهم فزادهم إيمانا وقالوا حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. أخرجه البخاري. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ, or the statement, Allah is sufficient for us and the best guardian and protector. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said this when he was thrown into the fire. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said this when the people said, indeed the people have gotten together against you, so fear them. But it increased them in their iman, and they said, Allah is sufficient for us and the best guardian and protector, or حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Also, I want to add that this ayah is amongst the evidences that shows that iman increases and decreases. That iman, it increases with obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it decreases with disobedience to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to always keep our iman on the rise. Al-istighfar wa tadarru wa lujoo ila Allah. The Shaykh, he says, from amongst the ways of escaping every type of fitna is by seeking forgiveness and humbling yourself to Allah, or being sincere and making dua to Him, and leaving or turning over all of your affairs to Him. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى وَذَنُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا فَظَنَّ أَنْ لَنْ نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ فَاسْتَجَبَنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ وَكَذَٰلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Surah Al-Anbiya, verses 78 and 88. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, and dhunnun, or remember the story of Yunus ibn Matta when he went away from his people in anger. Meaning he went away from his people in anger because he called them to the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in obedience to Him and His Messenger alayhi salam. And the people disbelieved in Allah and disobeyed His Messenger alayhi salam and turned away from the truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded His Prophet Yunus ibn Matta alayhi salam to be patient with the harm that he found from them, but he was hasty. And he went away from them in anger, and he thought that we would not be able to take care of him, or he thought that we would not hold him accountable for not adhering to our commandment. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that Yunus alayhi salam thought, when he was impatient and he went away from the people in anger instead of being patient as Allah commanded him, he thought that Allah would not hold him accountable for it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did, by allowing him to be tested by being swallowed by the whale. So he called out in the darkness, meaning in the darkness of the belly of the whale, لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. No God has the right to be worshipped except you. Glory be to you. Indeed, I was from amongst the wrongdoers. So we answered him, meaning Allah answered his dua, and we saved him from distress and grief, meaning from his situation there in the well. And likewise, we save the believers. And this is in Surah Al-Anbiya, verses 87 and 88. Here the Shaykh is using this to show that he sought Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him from the fitna of being there in the well. وَقَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. This is from Surah Al-Saffat, verses 143 and 144, where Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, and if it wasn't that he was from amongst those who praised and glorified, meaning if Yunus ibn Matta was not from amongst those who sought Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness for not being patient with what Allah tested him with, and being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and glorifying and praising him in a manner befitting to his majesty, he would have remained in the belly of the whale until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Meaning, instead of being saved, that would have been his graveyard. Allahu al-musta'an. وقال سبحانه ولقد أرسلنا إلى أمم من قبلك فأخذناهم بالبأساء والضراء لعلهم يتضرعون فلولا إذ جاءهم بأسنا تضرعوا ولكن قست قلوبهم وزين لهم الشيطان ما كانوا يعملون. سورة الأنعام, verses 42 to 43, where Allah subhanahu, he says, and we have sent messengers to the nations before you, meaning before you Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of them calling to the tawheed of Allah ta'ala in obedience to his prophets and messengers. So we took them with difficulty and difficulty, or hardship and hardship, meaning with a difficulty and hardship in their wealth and a difficulty and hardship in their lives or their bodies. And the difficulty in their wealth by restricting their means and making them from amongst the poor, where they're not able to handle what's necessary for them. And to also test them with their bodies, with sickness and what have you, so that perhaps they would humble themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if it was when the test of difficulty and hardship came to them that they would have humbled themselves, meaning it would have been better for them if they had done this, but rather their hearts were hardened. And instead of becoming, meaning instead of becoming humble and turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they became hard-hearted or arrogant and turning away from submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the shaytan beautified for them what they used to do, meaning of their disobedience and disbelief in Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wassalam. Al-ista'anatu bis-sabri was-salat, seeking assistance and patience and in salah is also from amongst the ways to escape every type of fitna. قال الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 153. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, O you who believe, seek assistance and patience and in salah, indeed Allah is with the patience. Meaning seek assistance and patience, meaning to be patient with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests you with of difficulties of this world, whether in your wealth or in your health, and to be patient with leaving Allah, leaving off acts of disobedience to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, or living a life of sin and being patient with being obedient to Allah and following the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the way of our Salaf al-Salih and in Salah. Meaning turn to Salah when you find yourselves in difficult times. Indeed Allah is with the patient, with the patient. وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى ولقد نعلم أنك يضيق صدرك بما يقولون فسبح بحمد ربك وكن من الساجدين واعبد ربك حتى يأتيك اليقين. And this is from Surah Al-Hijr, verses 97 through 99. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, and we know that your chest is restricted because of what they say. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that your heart is uncomfortable with what they say, meaning with what the disbelievers have to say against you. As the Shaykh Mustafa ibn Adawi comments in the footnote, this is guidance or direction towards the salah. When you find your heart restricted because of the harm of the disbelievers, so celebrate the praises of your Lord and be from amongst those who prostrate, meaning in salah, and worship your Lord until certainty comes, which means worship Allah until death comes. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling the believers to turn to the salah when they find themselves in difficulty because of what the people say. These statements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want to add, though we find that they talk to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and what he was dealing with in particular, it's guidance for the rest of the ummah and what we deal with in our lives in general. وَقَالَ جَلَّ ذِكْرُ وَإِن كَادُوا لَيَسْتَفِزُّونَكَ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ لِيُخْرِجُوكَ مِنْهَا وَإِذَا لَا يَلْبَثُونَ خِلَافَكَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا سُنَّةَ مَنْ قَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا قَبْلَكَ مِنْ رُسُلِنَا وَلَا تَجِدُ لِسُنَّتِنَا تَحْوِيلًا أقم الصلاة لدلوك الشمس إلى غسق الليل وقرآن الفجر إن قرآن الفجر كان مشهودا ومن الليل فتهجد به نافلة لك عسى أن يبعثك ربك مقاما محمودا. سورة الإسراء verses 76 to 79. والله تعالى he says, and they almost frighten you from the land in order to remove you from it. Meaning the disbelievers, they made it difficult on the Prophet, so on you, meaning the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, trying to scare you away so that they could remove you from it, meaning from Mecca, as they were torturing and giving the Muslims a hard time while they were there in the early days in Mecca. And if they would have, then they would have only remained in it for a little while. Meaning if they would have removed you from Mecca, then they would have only remained in Mecca for a little while after you, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have punished them for their removal of the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Mecca. This is the way of those who we have sent before you from our messengers, and you won't find any change to our way. Meaning this is the way that Allah deals with those who disbelieve and disobey His prophets and messengers and try to bring harm on them and their followers by not letting them achieve their results. And you will not find any change to the way of Allah and the way He deals with those who oppose His prophets and messengers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And establish the salah from midday until the darkness of night, and the Quran of Fajr,
indeed the Quran of Fajr is witnessed. And from the night time, make tahajjud as a nafila or a voluntary salat for yourselves, for you. May the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, perhaps your Lord will raise you to a praiseworthy station. May you establish the salat from noontime until the darkness of the night, means from Salatul Dhuhr to Salatul Isha, which is including Al-Asr and Al-Maghrib, which are in between those times where Allah is saying establish Salah from this time up to that time. And the Qur'an Al-Fajr, means the recitation of Qur'an in Salatul Fajr. Indeed, the recitation of the Qur'an in Salatul Fajr is witnessed, meaning is witnessed by the angels of the night time and the angels of the daytime. As the angels of the night are leaving, they're witnessing this. And also as the angels of the daytime are coming, they're also witnessing this. And from the night time, establish the salat as a nafila or voluntary salat for yourself. Meaning also make the night salat, as this will allow you to have your station raised in the sight of your Lord. This is directed to the last prophet and messenger to humanity, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as we're saying, this is guidance for the rest of the ummah. And then here we see in these ayah the command to establish the five salat. As some of the ulama, they use these ayah to show that the five salat are compulsory, as we know from many hadith of the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Shaykh Mustafa ibn Adwi also comments that this shows that this guides us to establishing the salah at the time of fear that we will be removed from the land. Just as Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا حزبه أمر فزع إلى الصلاة. She said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, if any issue frightened him or worried him, then he would hurry to the salah صلى الله عليه وسلم. وقال الله عز وجل فاصبر على ما يقولون وسبح بحمد ربك قبل طلوع الشمس وقبل غروبها ومن آناء الليل فسبح وأطراف النهار لعلك ترضى. From Surah Al-Tah, verse number 130, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, be patient with what they say, meaning with what they describe you of characteristics that are not befitting to you, and of the falsehood that they talk of you and your deen, al-Islam, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and celebrate and glorify the praises of your Lord before the rising of the sun and before the setting of the sun. Meaning before the rising of the sun, meaning Salatul Fajr, and before the setting of the sun, meaning Salatul Asr, and from the night time, praise and glorify Him, meaning Salatul Maghrib and Salatul Isha, and from the both ends of the day, meaning Salatul Dhuhr and Salatul Isha, from the night, and from both ends of the day, means Salatul Dhuhr and Salatul Maghrib, perhaps your Lord will be pleased, meaning will be pleased with you for establishing the five salat. And this is also from amongst the ayat that shows the obligation of the establishment of the five salat. And what our Shaykh is showing us from the ayat that will help us to escape the many different ways of fitna, and that is by being patient and establishing the salat. وَقَالَ سُبْحَانَا إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا إن ناشئة الليل هي أشد وطئا وأقوى مقيلا. في سورة المزمل verses 5-6, where Allah Ta'ala says, indeed we shall reveal to you a weighty word, meaning Allah's book, the Quran, that is filled with guidance calling to the Tawheed, calling to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and high moral character. Indeed, your strength at night, or indeed your wakefulness at night, it is stronger in its effect and more clearer in its speech. Meaning indeed your worship at the night time, it has a stronger effect on your heart and it's more clearer to your speech. Meaning that when you're reading the Quran at night time, meaning in the tahajjud salah, it has a bigger effect on your heart because everyone is asleep and everything is quiet and the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are more clearer to you than in the daytime when you're busy with your working and what have you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. وَقَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَدَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يَرُدُّونَكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ كُفَّارًا حَسَدًا مِّنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْحَقِّ فَاعْفُوا وَاصْفَحُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُم مِّنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِندَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. This is from Surah Al-Baqarah, verses 109 and 110. Where Allah Ta'ala, He says, many of the people of the book, meaning many of the Jews and the Christians, they would love to turn you back after your iman to being disbelievers out of hatred and envy with themselves after the truth has been made clear to them. Meaning after it's been made clear that the Jews and Christians must believe in and follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to submit and be from amongst the believers. Instead of that, because of their hatred and their envy that the last Prophet and Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was an Arab and not from amongst them, that many of them wished that the believers would become disbelievers after their iman. So pardon and overlook until Allah establishes His command. Meaning pardon the harm that they do to you and overlook their ignorance until Allah establishes command. Indeed Allah is Qadir, or has the power over all things. And establish the salah and give the zakah, and whatever you put forth of good, then you will find it with Allah. Meaning whatever you do of good, you will find the reward of it with Allah. Indeed Allah is basir of what you do, or He sees what you do, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also here we see, as the Shaykh is calling us to the ways of escaping all types of fitna by being patient here with the people who are against us from amongst the Ahlul Kitab, or the Jews and the Christians, to be patient with what we find from them by pardoning them and overlooking their ignorance when they express it upon us. And also the call to establishing the salat in here, the paying of the zakat. And this will help the believers to escape the fitna that they are tested with at the hands of Ahlul Kitab, or the other fitna that we might be going through in our lives. وَعَنْ أُمِّ سَلَمَا زَوْجِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَرَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا قَالَتْ إِسْتَيْقَظَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَيْلَةً فَزِعًا يقول سبحان الله ماذا أنزل الله من الخزائن وماذا أنزل الله من الفتن من يوقظ صواحب الحجرات يريد أزواجا لكي يصلين رب كاسية في الدنيا عارية في الآخرة. And this is collected by Al-Bukhari and At-Tirmidhi. Where Umm Salama, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, radiyallahu anha, she said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he woke one night frightened, and he said, or disturbed, and he said, Subhanallah, look at what Allah, look at what Allah has revealed of the treasures, and look at what Allah has revealed of the fitan. I mean, look at this beautiful dunya that Allah has given us so much of. And also at the same time, look at all of the fitan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us with in this world. That's so beautiful. Who will wake the women of these apartments? Referring to his wives. So that those women may make salat. Because perhaps they may be clothed in this world, naked in the hereafter. The Shaykh Mustafa ibn Adwi comments, as he says in this hadith, there is the encouragement and the recommendation and guidance to humbling ourselves and turning sincerely to Allah in dua and salah, especially in the night time. And it's even more recommended in the last third of the night, hoping for the success of the time when the du'as are answered, that Allah may remove from us the fitan and save us from what we are asking Him in our du'a to save us from, and to answer our du'as for us. And this hadith is clear evidence that salah is a way of escaping fitan. أتعوذ من الفتن. Seeking refuge in Allah from the fitan. عن عائشة رضي الله عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقول اللهم إني أعوذ بك اللهم إني أعوذ من الكسل اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الكسل والهرم والمأثم والمغرم ومن فتنة القبر وعذاب القبر ومن فتنة النار وعذاب النار ومن شر فتنة الغنى وأعوذ بك من فتنة الفقر وأعوذ بك من فتنة المسيح الدجال من فتنة المسيح الدجال اللهم اغسل عني خطاياي بماء والثلج والبرد ونق قلبي من الخطايا كما نقيت الثوب الأبيض كما نقيت الثوب الأبيض من الدنس وباعد بيني وبين خطاياي كما باعدت بين المشرق والمغرب أخرجه البخاري عائشة رضي الله أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم عائشة رضي الله عنها she said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he used to say Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from being lazy. Meaning, from being weighed down from doing all types of good. Or lazy as we know it. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from being lazy. And from being senile. Meaning the feeble-minded state that the elderly are in. As we're seeing is becoming very common in these days. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from it. And from sin or that which leads to it, and from debt or that which leads to it, and we seek refuge in you from the fitan of the grave, or meaning from the not being able to handle the questions in the grave, and from the punishment of the grave, meaning from actually being punished in the grave, and we seek refuge in you from the fitna of the fire, or meaning from that which may lead to the fire. And from the punishment of the fire. And we seek refuge in you from the fitna of wealth. Or as some of the ulama explained, the fitna of wealth. And maybe we would, the evil of the fitna of being wealthy. And most of the time we look at being wealthy as not being a fitna, but being exactly what we're looking for. But here the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us to seek refuge from the evil of the fitna of the wealth, meaning to be wealthy is to be arrogant and proud and to transgress the bounds over the rest of humanity because of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored you with. Or from the fitna, the evil fitna of being wealthy, meaning of having your wealth being acquired or earned by haram means. Or the fitna of being wealthy, that you spend your wealth in that which is displeasing to Allah, and acts of disobedience to Him and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we seek refuge in you from the fitna of poverty, or the type of poverty that will not allow us to be obedient to Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to practice this deen of al-Islam. And we seek refuge in you from the fitna of al-Masih al-Dajjal. As some of the Muslims too, when the Masih al-Dajjal appears, the Muslims will follow him too. And this is why we seek refuge in Allah from the fitna of al-Masih al-Dajjal. And O Allah, cleanse me from my sins and wrongdoings with water and ice. And ice water, or as Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam intends. Meaning, forgive me in many ways of my many sins, just as water and ice and cold water all cleanses in different ways. And purify my heart from sin, just as you have purified the white thobe from filth. And keep me far from, or keep a, that keep the, make the distance between me and my sins like the distance between the east and the west. And this is collected by Al-Bukhari. And we clearly see in this hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, seeking refuge and Allah from the fitan is one of the ways to escape the fitan. And we also see it in the hadith on Amrin ابن ميمون الأودي رضي الله عنه قال كان سعد كان سعد يعلم بنيه هؤلاء الكلمات كما يعلم المعلم الغلمان الكتاب ويقول إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يتعوذ منهن دبر الصلاة اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الجبن وأعوذ بك أن أرد إلى أرض للعمر وأعوذ بك من فتنة الدنيا وأعوذ بك من عذاب القبر. This is collected by Al-Bukhari and Tirmidhi and Nasa'i. وعمر بن ميمون رضي الله عنه, he said that Sa'd, he used to teach his children these words or phrases just as a teacher would teach the young children how to write. He would say, indeed, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to seek refuge in Allah at the end of the salah with these words, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from being a coward or cowardice. And that means that I seek refuge in Allah from being a coward, meaning not having the ability to go against my soul, my own soul, and the shaitan when it calls me to disobedience to Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the true coward. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Some of the ulama explained this word. And I seek refuge in you from going back to the worst to the worst condition of life, meaning after you have given me a mind and maturity to go back to being feeble-minded like a child in old age. And we seek refuge in you from the fitna of the dunya, meaning any fitna that we are tested with in this world, and we seek refuge in you from the fitna or from the punishment of the grave. وعن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال كان نبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول اللهم إني أعوذ بك من العجز والكسل والجبن والهرم وأعوذ بك من عذاب القبر وأعوذ بك من فتنة المحيا والممات. أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه, he said, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, "Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from being incapable," meaning of not having the ability to be obedient to Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or not having the ability to stay up on the ibadah or the worship of Allah Ta'ala. And we seek refuge in you from being lazy and deaf. And this is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim and Abu Dawood and Al-Nasa'i. In our last hadith of the evening, عن زيد بن ثابت رضي الله عنه قال بينما النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في حائط لبن النجار على بغلة له ونحن معه إذ حادت به فكادت تلقيه وإذا أقبر ستة أو خمسة أو أربعة فقال من يعرف أصحاب هذه الأقبور فقال رجل أنا قال فمتى مات هؤلاء قال ماتوا في الإشراق فقال إن هذه الأمة تبتلى في قبورها فلولا أن لا تدافنوا لدعوت الله أن يسمعكم من عذاب القبر الذي أسمع منه ثم أقبلوا علينا بوجهه فقال تعوذوا بالله من عذاب النار قالوا نعوذ بالله من عذاب النار فقال تعوذوا بالله من عذاب القبر قالوا نعوذ بالله من عذاب القبر قال تعوذوا بالله من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن قالوا نعوذ بالله من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن قال تعوذوا بالله من فتنة الدجال قالوا نعوذ بالله من فتنة الدجال أخرجه مسلم. Zayd, on authority of Zayd ibn Thabit رضي الله عنه, he said, while the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was at a war from the tribe of Bani Najjar, or the family of Bani Najjar, while he was on a riding animal of his and we were with him, when the riding animal deviated from the pathway and it almost threw him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning the riding animal, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is with the Sahaba and they're riding, and then the animal goes off the side of the road, almost throwing the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the animal is frightened. As there are six or five or four graves there that frighten the animal. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who knows the companions of these graves? So a man said, I do. They died. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when did they die? He said, they died on shirk. So he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, indeed this ummah will be tested in their graves. And if it wasn't that you are afraid not to bury your dead, I would have made dua to Allah to let you hear the punishment of the grave that I hear. Meaning, the human being has shyness and shame from leaving the dead just laying around. But we bury the dead. Imagine if no one was buried, we just leave them on the street. He's dead? Okay, put him in the back of the parking lot. Or leave him on the side of the curb. You can imagine if everyone died, you left them around, it would be a mess. And then bones, and what have you. So the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if it wasn't that, you know, you did not want to just leave your dead around like that without burying them, I will let you hear the punishment of the grave, or as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam intends by his statement, of which he hears alayhi salatu wassalam. Then he faced us and he said, I command you to seek refuge in Allah from the punishment of the fire. They said, we seek refuge in Allah from the punishment of the fire. He said, I command you to seek refuge in Allah from the punishment of the grave. They said, we seek refuge in Allah from the punishment of the grave. He says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I command you to seek refuge in Allah from the fitan, that which is apparent from it and that which is hidden. They said, we seek refuge in Allah from the fitan, that which is apparent of it and that which is hidden. He says, seek refuge in Allah from the fitna of a dajjal. They said, we seek refuge in Allah from the fitna of a dajjal. And this is collected by Imam Muslim. And here we see
that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam teaches us that seeking refuge in Allah from the fitan is from amongst the ways of escaping the fitan. We also want to add here that this was the way of the Sahaba, of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that their way was we hear and we obey. And they were quick to be obedient to the last Prophet and Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that when he said seek refuge in Allah from the punishment of the fire, they didn't say, okay, we'll do that. But they said, we seek refuge in Allah from the punishment of the fire. And this is how quickly they answered the call to the last Prophet and Messenger of humanity, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wa radiyallahu anhu. This is what we wanted to present this evening from the book of our Shaykh Mustafa ibn al-Adawi, Makharijun min al-Fitan, or Ways of Escaping the Different Types of Fitna. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. If there are any comments or questions on what has been presented, we'll take a few minutes for that. And if not, then we'll end here, inshallah, with time. Okay, we see here from the Shaykh that he shows us that there are general ways to escape every type of fitna, meaning whatever fitna or different type of fitna a person may be going through, that these ways will escape him from all of those fitna. Maybe one of person he's being tested with poverty, and the next person he's being tested with wealth, and the next person he's being tested by the harm that he gets from the disbelievers. And the next person is being tested with his wife. And the next person is being tested with her husband. And the next person is being tested with his children. And the next person is being tested on the job. And on from the different tests that we go through. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us different ways to escape these fitness. And from amongst those ways is the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from the true reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And from the statement, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. And saying Allah is sufficient for us and the best guardian and protector. And the seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. And humbling ourselves to Allah and turning to Him in dua. And entrusting all of our affairs with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He is the one who controls the affairs. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And from amongst the ways to escape every type of fitna is by being patient. By being patient, meaning being comfortable with handling your situation, believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove you of that situation because of your patience, and that He will reward you for dealing with it patiently and establishing the salah. Meaning turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the salah, and that's the five salah and the night salah, and especially in the last third of the night, making salah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a way out of the fitna that we find ourselves in. And from amongst the ways of escaping the fitan is seeking refuge in Allah from the fitan. Inshallah ta'ala, next Friday we'll begin with the next chapter, Tamanna al-Maut Khashat al-Fitan, or desiring death out of fear of the fitan. Nah. No.
And if he would leave that area, you know, he would have gotten rid of those people. Something like that.
No.
What asking was that Torah?
The brother is asking about the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in Surah Al Isra, and that was quoted from that. That's chapter number 17 verse number 76. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying what it means. They almost frightened you from the land in order to remove you from it. Meaning that the disbelievers, they thought that their harm to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba and making them fear for their lives, they thought that that would chase them away from the deen of al-Islam, or that they would remove the Prophet salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi from Mecca and then there would be no more Islam. Nah. But even if they were successful in harming the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam or trying to stop his message, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have dealt with them. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had dealt with the other peoples who have killed their prophets and harmed their prophets, as some of the Bani Israel did, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He dealt with them. Now, and this is too, like I was saying, myself, when I read these ayat or hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or the books of the ulama, you find that no matter how many times you read the ayat or the hadith or these books, that you find guidance in your lives with whatever you're going through. I remember I was preparing this book about 2 years ago or so, and I don't know what prevented me from covering this book, as I thought it was applicable to our situation then. And wallahi, it seems just as applicable now. And this is Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is always applicable to our situations and all of humanity's situations and conditions up until Yawm al-Qiyamah, walhamdulillah. I don't know if there was anything else. If not, then we'll end here. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, walhamdulillah.